The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman, Bears veteran Patrick Manley, and more of your favorite Bears players. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
Ditka Week at Halas Hall. Monday night's going to be a special night at Soldier Field. Zach Zaidman, along with the longest tenured Bear in the history of the Bears franchise, 94 years in running, a man that Phil Emery calls the eighth wonder of the world.
My Ditka.
Patrick Manley.
Put me in the same sentence as him is great. Thanks, James Anderson, who's here this afternoon, this evening with us.
I mean, you guys played together, might as well.
I wish I did. I wish I would have played back in that era. They looked like they had a lot of fun. There was no camera phones. You know, the off-the-field antics seemed like they were a little bit more. They got away with more.
They played at Wrigley. They didn't play at Soldier Field
back then. Right. That's right. That with the brick wall.
Yeah, that would have hurt.
Yes.
You know, had you had to go into it. I believe maybe it was Bronco Nagurski. You remind me. It was in the 30s, I think, when he tackled a guy or he scored a touchdown by just running through people and then hit the wall.
I think I was injured that game, so I don't remember it. So.
but I think he came back to the sideline and said, you know, I'm okay except for that last guy that tackled me because he couldn't, you know, and it was the wall. So it happens. This is Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Event Center here at Halas Hall in front of our good friends, a studio audience from the University of Phoenix. Thank you so much for coming aboard. We are here for the full hour with veteran linebacker James Anderson, as well as Patrick Manley. Happy to have you aboard here on Bears All Access. And we'll get to the game. Are you a Bears authority a little bit later on? I know that James is a little apprehensive about having to play it. But, you know, this is Ditka Week, and you guys are lucky enough. You know, sometimes when people talk about Ditka, it's a guy that, you know, you see on TV. It's a guy that you know of because he was a legend here, but you don't know him personally. But you guys had an opportunity to listen to Ditka, to meet him during the preseason when he came to visit Halas Hall, right?
Yeah, like you said, he's an icon. When that guy talks, you listen, especially when he's talking about the Bears, who he's so passionate about in the city of Chicago. And the message he sent us, you know, just about remember the times of your locker room and how great they are, that really makes your experience in the NFL what it is. And when he spoke, it's like you said, it's Ditka. You know, it's coach.
It's very different than your former team in Carolina, where I guess Musin Muhammad is the Ditka of Carolina, right?
Yeah, we had Musu, Musu came back, and you know, Chico was coaching, so he told us a lot of Bear stories and things that used to do back in the day that we can't do now.
Yes,
because of phones and different things, you know. So you know, it's just to have the ability to see a legend and listen to the message to know from a guy who's won championships, who's done what he's done. And he was wearing Versace pants, and I was really impressed.
Wow. Always. Only James would notice a man's pants.
Hey, I don't know what that means.
It's style, it's swag. You're impressed about another man, you know, his dress. You know, you know what? I like those pants, bro.
He's a fashionista. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with, you know, looking at clothes.
This is a good time to remind you that Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz are your chances to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 p.m. on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Before we get to what happened last week and what needs to happen this week against the Cowboys, yesterday you guys had an opportunity to really do some good in the community again, and you guys went on a trip down to Washington, Illinois, an area that was ravaged by those tornadoes when you guys were playing the Ravens that day. What was that like?
Yeah, I'll let James. You went down to Coal City before.
No.
You did not? Okay. All right. Well, let's give a lot of credit to Robbie Gold. I know he had a rough week and everybody's on him about the kick, but him and his foundation put together this trip with the Bears to go down there to help out the victims from the tornado. And what we saw is indescribable. You know, you see things on TV, the helicopter view, the camera views, the phone, you know, pictures on Facebook. When we pulled up to the devastation, it's just, you're in awe. You feel it in your heart. You just see how many families and homes and have been affected from an awful tragedy. And to be able to go down there and put some smiles on some people's faces was great. And we also got to go to the high school, meet the high school football team, have lunch with all three lunch periods with all the students, sign autographs, have sit down and chat with them, and just to see the struggles they've gone through and to be able to put a smile on their face and kind of get their mind off it for a minute was awesome. I mean, we had a three-hour bus ride down there and a three-hour bus ride back, but the three-hour bus ride back, you just thought about the things you saw, the people you met, the stories you heard, and it just was inspiring to see a community like that come together, and they're going to fix it up, and everything's going to be back to normal.
Yeah, I think the main thing for me is it puts in perspective life in general. You know, you think you have a bad day, we have a bad game, we think it's the end of the world, but then you go to an area where you see a kid who's 15 years old, and he goes home to basically what amounts to a pile of rubble, which is his house. I mean, you see pictures, but you don't understand. You're driving on the street on both sides and see, you just see piles of rubble that represent houses that were there, you know, a couple weeks earlier. And just hearing the stories and you think, oh, this, you know, this took a couple hours. One couple's like, no, our house got destroyed in 15 seconds.
Wow.
The other thing, like one of the stories, there were so many stories, but they all came together. A lot of them came together like this, that it was such a tragedy. It was the hardest thing they've ever gone through with their life. And then maybe part of it would be their family member was lost, they couldn't find their family member. And when they heard that voice or the text message or phone call, if they were at somebody else's house, they said just the emotional swing they went through is nothing, you know, you want anybody to dream about. But it was as bad as the tragedy was. But when they found out the good news that their family member was alive, they just couldn't believe that feeling. And I talked to 20 people, 30 people about that, and they all had the same story. And it was tough. It was tough to talk to those people. And they got emotional again when they were telling the stories.
Did you get emotional?
I did. You see people's eyes welling up, and your eyes welled up a little, or my eyes welled up a little bit. And being able to be there right on their home site with them where it was a pile of rubble, you felt connected with them, and you could see more that way than just, you know, through an email or through a phone call or something. So it was, you know, I was able to, you know, touch their feelings almost.
Now, what kind of supplies did you bring? What kind of work did you do with the different people that you met?
Well, you know, Robbie handed out gift cards. You know, it doesn't compare to what you can really give a person. But just to let them, you know, you're thinking about them, doing it in a couple of neighborhoods and help clean up rubble, move trash. You know, we signed autographs and talked to high school kids and took pictures and just said, like, you know what? We understand what you're going through, not personally, but we can see and see the emotion in you and just let you know that somebody's thinking about you, that you're not alone in this thing.
And how cool for that football team to be able to talk to you guys about football and forget for a few minutes some of the things that they've had to deal with for the last few weeks.
Yeah, that was cool, but the thing was to see how the community rallied around that football team. While right after the tragedy, they had to go play a state football game, and the entire community rallied around those guys and came together behind them, and that brought the whole community together closer to deal with the tragedy afterwards.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the football game that you guys played last week. Don't look at me like that.
Ditka.
We got to do it. And then we'll talk about Ditka and what you have to do against the Cowboys. But, man, there's a lot to discuss in that game Sunday in Minnesota. That's next with James Anderson, Patrick Vanelli. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience from the University of Phoenix on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Monday's game is brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Miller Lite commemorative Mike Ditka fathead. Miller Lite, it's not just a good time, it's Miller time. Along with Patrick Manley, I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience from the University of Phoenix, and they are enjoying our hour-long chat with linebacker James Anderson. They might not enjoy this next
one. I want one of those fat heads. How do we get one of those fat heads?
Well, you'll be at Soldier Field on Monday, right?
Yeah, but I won't go through the turnstiles. Greg, is there any way to get one in our locker? Okay.
Talking to our producer, G Money. Man, always looking for something.
If it's free, it's me.
I mean, now,
or
if
it's free, take three. How about that one?
Sounds good to me. Look at you.
Free, none of that. That's fine.
He's a lyrical superstar over here, rhyming like crazy. Yeah. Now, at halftime, are you guys going to be inside the locker room, or are you going to petition head coach Mark Trestman to allow you to come up and hang around the tunnel so you can watch Ditka get honored?
I think we got a game going on, and that's his day, and I don't, you know, none of us played for him or played with him, and you know, we got a game. We got to make our adjustments and get ready for the Cowboys in the second half. I'm sure there'll be a video about it. So if we really want to see it, we could probably find that and watch that. It would be cool to see it, but, you know, we got a game.
That's very true. Yeah. You had a game last week. It didn't go well.
Dicka. Mm-hmm.
Now, take me through, as the game's going on, have you ever been involved in a roller coaster-like game like that?
Yeah, you know what? I have. One comes to mind. I can't think of who we were playing, but I just remember we threw a pick, then we got a fumble, then they scored, then we scored right back, and it was just like those kind of games drain you so much emotionally. You know, I was trying to do interviews after the game, and they said, well, how do you feel? I don't feel anything right now. I'm just dead. Everything is drained.
I saw you after the game in the locker room, and you had that look of a zombie. You know, like everything had been taken out. You left everything on the field. And I'm sure when you got on the plane on the way back and, you know, the next day, all you were probably thinking about was that blitz. Fourth and 11. Right.
Well, you know what? Actually, I was thinking about nothing because I still was dead. but, you know, when we went back and we watched the film to see how close I was or if I could have got a hand up a second faster, it could have, you know, ended the game. But, you know, we watched the film and there was a lot of other ways we could end the game. But as a player, you always think about what could I have done differently to affect the game, you know. You can't be really pissed about it because we had to get certain communication, but you can't be upset because we could have played it better. And I personally could have done something different, you know? So it's, you always think about the one or two plays, regardless of how well I've played a game. If I had a perfect game, never happens. Or even close to a perfect game, you always think about that. But that one play when I let a guy outside of me, you know, that bothers you.
When you said, if your hand was up, because just from watching the video, it looks as though if your hands had been up, that ball hits you in the hand because they quick snapped it, and it didn't even look as though Castle, the quarterback for the Vikings, was even looking at the target where he was trying to throw the ball.
No, he threw it blind.
Because the blitz, it was an all-out blitz,
yeah.
Right? You came closest to him. If your hand's up, game over, right?
Yeah.
It would have hit you in the hands.
You know, and in my mind at that time, because we got caught off guard, I was straining everything I had to try to get there. So at the time, I was straining to try to run to get in his way to throw my body at him. As opposed to getting your hand up, because you're like, oh, shoot, they called us. I got to go. So, you know, if you, you know, second look, you know, hindsight is 50-50, you say, hey, bro, you're closer than you think you are. If you get your hands up, you're fine.
And then you look at the special teams angle of it. Let's start with, first off, near the end of regulation, Devin Hester has that tremendous return. And you're thinking, okay, there's an opportunity to, but you didn't get the first down. So now Mark Trestman sends out the field goal unit. And you've got a 66-yard attempt, indoors, mind you, but it's still 66 yards. And I guess the record all-time is, what, 63?
63, yeah.
Yeah, by a bunch of different players. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty hard to do. And you've got, and you saw it a few years back with Devin Hester and Nathan Vasher.
And the day before
we
saw.
And the day before with, by the way, I talked to Devin Hester about
this. The night before?
Yeah, talking about the Iron Bowl, talking about Auburn and Alabama. I was talking with Devin Hester about this before the game, and he said after Chris Davis of Auburn returned the missed field goal back for a touchdown, a walk-off touchdown, if you will, he said that he got like hundreds of text messages. Everyone's asking him, did you teach this guy what he knows? But Devin was telling me that, you know, when you have the field goal unit out there, it's almost easier for
well,
the
yeah,
return.
You're running against a bunch of – or returning a bunch of good, big fatties. So it's you know, it's – Your best athletes are out there are probably your kicker, your holder, and then your two wings, and everybody else is pretty much 300 pounds plus trying to chase down an NFL returner.
Fatties and Pat Malley.
Right, and guess so. And
former fatty.
Right, former fatty.
I heard he was large.
If you Google a picture of Patrick Manley, what was your authentic first season in the NFL?
1998 at 296 pounds.
And he looked it. Now, yeah. I mean, he's svelte, he's lean, you know, he looks
like, doing yoga and Pilates.
Yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable.
I'm trying everything.
He's the model for long snappers to come
juicing?
Going forward. Right.
No. Oh, juicing, not that kind of juicing, like press juices.
Yeah, juices.
Yes,
yeah,
that kind of juicing.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I am glad you clarified that.
Don't put me in that category.
I mean, man.
I could use the line, Jim Miller, have you seen me naked in the locker room? I'm obviously not on steroids.
I don't think
that's another story from another day, but some fans will know that one.
I haven't seen you naked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thankfully, we're on radio. And just in case I had nothing to do with it, I'm Zach Sabin. Patrick Manley is here. So is James Anderson, the veteran linebacker. Now, so you have Patterson out there, and you guys all game long, if I'm not mistaken, try to avoid getting the ball in his hands as a return man.
That's what that guy is right now is as good as a kickoff returner as there is in the NFL. And there are some reasons why we position the ball differently on our kickoff teams.
But you tackled him.
He got funneled into me, and I ripped him and rolled over on him. Yeah, so I got I'm the one that got credit for the.
All right, so that's so yeah, then you go to overtime. Have you ever seen a face mask violation?
No.
On what would be a game-winning kick?
And when I saw the referee throw the flag as violent as he did, it had to be something serious. And then everybody's pointing at their right wing, and I was like, good, it's on them. Let's try this again. And that led to part of the craziness of the game is that to see that the guy hits a game winner, Blair Walsh goes, their kicker goes running off the field excited. The next thing you know, try it again, back it up, whatever, 15 yards.
Yeah, they
their whole
yardage.
Team charged the field. Like they charged the field. Yeah. And we were like, what happened? And we found out, Chris Conner had his face ripped off.
Yeah.
He did.
Literally. It was pretty violent.
It was pretty good.
It was legit.
Pretty flagrant.
Yeah. Yes.
And we stop them. They miss the field goal. Then we go into a heart attack mode.
Yeah, you get new life because they lose yardage, and a longer kick doesn't. I mean, Blair Walsh never misses, right? And then he missed. And then the weird thing happened is that the Bears get the ball, and the Bears are moving the ball offensively down the field. What happened next, though, has been a major topic of discussion this week. We'll get your take, being the special teams captain, next. Patrick Manley is here. So is James Anderson. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience from the University of Phoenix on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix. Enjoy a free Reds Tavern Double with purchase when the Bears get a takeaway this season, brought to you by Red Robin, home of Tavern Double Tuesday. Zach Zaidman, Patrick Manley, joined by linebacker James Anderson here for the full hour. We've been talking about what happened in Minnesota, and we got through in our last segment all the way up until the miss by Blair Walsh in overtime, and then you have an opportunity in overtime. The Bears offense is moving the ball down the field. You get to second down, and all of a sudden,
field goal.
Has that ever happened from that distance? Because usually, if you're going to do it on second down in overtime, it's what's considered to be a chip shot.
Yeah.
Like a layup in basketball. This was a 47-yard field goal, which is not a layup, but definitely in Robbie Gould's range.
All day.
I mean, I asked him before the game, what's your range? He goes, oh, limitless. And he meant it. The guy's just oozing confidence.
Sure.
And it was a pretty special day for him. 1:30 in the morning.
1:39.
1:39 in the morning on Sunday. His wife gives birth to their first child, a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
He gets on a private plane, holds the boy, makes sure the wife's okay, heads out to the airport, takes a private plane, lands in Minnesota, 6:30 arrives, gets some breakfast, off to the stadium, and he's wired, just on a natural high, obviously, because, as you know, Pat, that's a big deal.
It is.
And you went through that once, right?
I did. 2005, my daughter was born. We played the Packers on Christmas. My daughter was born at 8:31 p.m. Christmas Eve. I stayed the night in the hospital, got zero sleep like Robbie. The team doctors picked me up at the hospital and drove me up to Green Bay that morning.
Oh, so you had an opportunity to sleep on the ride up there.
Yeah, not in that little Honda, the little compact car. I didn't sleep so well. I tried, but again, I just know what Robbie was going through. Your brain is just racing. You're on such an emotional high. You're leaving your child behind with your wife, and I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep at all that night. I knew exactly what he was going through. So at 2:30 in the morning, I had to get up in the middle of the night and use the restroom myself at that time. And I texted him, and he writes back. He's like, what are you doing up? I was like, don't worry about it. I just want to see how everything's going. Have you had your child yet? And all that stuff. So I knew what he was going through. And I just know that day was pretty hard physically, just from going through the emotions he went through that day before.
What I find interesting is on the 66-yard attempt, that would have been good from 63.
I think so, yeah.
Right? And if anyone had watched him, that 66-yard field goal that he missed, first time he's ever missed a field goal at the Metrodome. Wow. And that's a crazy field goal to begin with.
That's not an attempt.
Exactly.
Shouldn't go against his record.
Yeah, it's just, time's running out. You might as well take a chance, and whatever happens, happens. But then, from 47, well within his range, and he loves the moment, 11 game-winning kicks in his career. But on second down, did you expect that? Was there any conversation that took place?
No, when we're on the sideline, all we're doing is getting prepared for our job. And when the coach calls on it, we go out and kick it. I didn't know it was second down until running out there and then seeing the down marker flipped over to second down. Honestly, I was a little shocked. I didn't know, surprised we were doing on second down, but Coach Trestman's our head coach, and he makes the decisions, and when he does, it's our job to execute. And like you said, Robbie, at 47 yards in practice all day in the Walter Payton Center, our little indoor facility. And I think Coach played the percentage of him making it because he's seen him make it 10 times out of 10, or 50 times out of 50 in practice. So when you get called on to do it, it's our job to execute it, and unfortunately we didn't.
Did you think that he was going to miss?
No, I came like, I take the snap, and I felt it was good, and I'm blocking a guy, and I come out of the block and put my head up, and I just whispered, I said, he missed it. Like, I couldn't believe it. I was in shock.
Right.
Like, I was, normally that happens. You turn around, you go shake the other long snapper's hand, tell your friends on the team, congratulations. You take off to the locker room. And to see it miss and then have to walk to the sideline is something I don't think I've ever experienced with Robbie.
That's crazy.
It was something new, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because it was just a few weeks ago against the Ravens, that game against Baltimore, and the goalpost is moving from side to side. I don't know where he was aiming, but it went through. Mm-hmm. That was his 11th game winner as a Bear. And then, so that happens, and James, as a defense, you don't have time to think about it. You got to go right back out on the field.
Yeah, I didn't have a helmet. I had already given my helmet away. I said, like, you know what, go ahead, take this in. We're good. He's going to make this.
Right.
That's the confidence we have in Robbie as a team.
I didn't even really watch it. I was like, oh, that's going to be good. And then I just hit a crack with Chris. I said, you missed it?
Mm-hmm.
No. And we got to go play defense again.
Because I thought, as he was about to kick it, I'm thinking, what's the headline going to be in the paper tomorrow? Golden Daddy? What's it going to be? And then, it doesn't happen, and you lose the game.
Yes.
What's it like in the locker room after something like that?
It's an environment that's kind of hard to describe, because as a player, you know that you gave everything you got, and you just, like I said, I was emotionally just drained, and the mood is so somber, and you feel bad that you lost. You think about what you could have done better, but then you feel worse for Robbie. He's like, for a guy that just had a kid that would make that field goal any day of the week, that you would never, we could get it on first down.
Right. That's
you would never even doubt it. And to lose a game in that fashion in a game that meant so much, you can't describe the feeling.
Because I've heard a lot of you guys say that, and that's the weird thing, is that everyone felt that Robbie Gold was going to make the kick. And it's such a rare thing when he misses in a crucial moment like that. There aren't many misses in Robbie Gold's career, period.
Yeah.
So to have a miss like that, and then, the controversy that's taken place, everyone talking about second down, Mark Trestman, this, that, did he make the right decision? Did you guys need an explanation from the head coach?
No.
I mean, we can go tomorrow and I'll say Robbie will get the kick. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, like you said, we have the confidence in Robbie. Kick it.
It doesn't matter. I mean, if he'd have made the kick, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But because, he didn't, now everybody's saying it's a controversial call. If he'd made it on second down, great call by Coach Trestman to get it done. I mean, he made the call. We went with it. It didn't work out. That's just what happened.
And then while the rest of the world is focusing on that decision, then there's the reality of what happened in that game to squander a 10-point lead.
Ditka.
See, that's where – and defensively, I think a lot of people – just dismiss the fact that there have been so many injuries, and you can't use that as an excuse. But how challenging has it been over the last few weeks? Because this was one of the better defensive efforts that we've seen from the Bears in the last few weeks, considering all the injuries that you guys have had to overcome.
Well, in a defensive room, we don't talk about this guy's playing, that guy's not playing, because if you're in the NFL, you have a Bear jersey, you're a player. And that's how you got to approach it. The difficulty in it is, once you build a bond and camaraderie with somebody, you know how they play, you know how they fit, you can play off each other. Now that's a new guy. So now there's a process of building that trust and knowing, that this guy's going to do his job and you just do your job. And because defense is a lot about trust. Offense is a lot about, people you're supposed to be, they run this coverage, you run this route, boom, 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 block that guy, go. But defense is a lot about, hey, this guy's going to be right there, and I know he's going to be right there. So regardless of what I see, I got to go right here because I know he's going to be right there. And, when you shuffle new guys in, it's sometimes difficult to have that.
In the locker room with your two young linebackers, well, I guess we got to take a break. Are we going to take a break now?
All right, I'll finish.
How much better have Bostic and Kasim gotten in the last few weeks since they've been starting?
I think they've gotten a lot better just in believing in what they know. Those are two young guys who they know what's going on. They're not idiots by any stretch of the means, so you don't go on the field questioning whether they know what to do. Now it was, hey, I see what's happening in front of me. Okay, now you're seeing them start to go and do it as opposed to, hey, I see it. Okay, now go. You're going on the first hitch instead of the second hitch. So you see those guys starting to make improvements.
Less thinking and more doing. We got to take a time out. When we come back, we're going to have some fun. We'll play Are You a Bears Authority? And then later on in the show, we'll get to, this Dallas offense. You're talking about high-powered, and then there's some familiar faces on the other side you guys are going to be seeing. So we'll talk about that next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience for the University of Phoenix on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Watch Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare Sundays, 10:30 a.m. on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. Zach Sabin, Patrick Manley, James Anderson with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center here at Hallis Hall, in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix. So happy to have you aboard with us. It's always fun when we have the studio audience.
It's a little different, yeah. Like I said earlier, it's better than the little closet we have show in normally.
Hey, come on. It's a state-of-the-art radio studio here in this renovated Hallis Hall.
It's all beautiful.
Yeah. You know what? Pat combs his hair, James, when it's a big studio audience show that we've got.
I let the flow come out.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
Oh, he's gelling.
Yes, yeah. He is gelling.
It's not gel. It's a different type of product.
Really?
Yeah. It's not gel. Gel, it flows. Gel would make it all sticky.
Someone.
I don't have hair like this. I don't know what you're talking about right now.
Someone has been spending way too much time with Jay Cutler. Yeah. If you're going to start talking,
you can't keep it. I'm not even close. I'm not even in his league.
He did not have a good hair day the other day. Maybe if you noticed, that's why he wore the ball cap.
Yeah, he needs to go back to. He's just his game day hair earlier in the year was strong. That helped us. So we'll see. Well, now he's going to have to wear a sock hat because it's going to be so cold. But
it's killing him not to be. I mean, you guys know this. When you can't play and you feel like you can contribute and help the team, you know, when you've been a contributor for most of the season and an injury forces, it's got to be the worst feeling for a football player.
Yeah, I was in that position last year. I had an injury late in the season, and I hadn't missed a game in 7 years. So it was pretty nuts. But you go to the game, you know what you can do and the different things, how you can help. Not saying that you're better or worse than anybody else, but just how you can help and how you can help other guys on the field. And just being in different situations is a very difficult position to be in.
And the competitor Jay is, like he's so competitive that I think it's killing him. You know what I mean? It hurts us all, but he's definitely ultra competitive. And when you're the quarterback of a team and you can't be out there and you know you're the field general on the offensive side, you can't do it, I think that really bothers him.
Yeah, I spoke to him before the game. He says he hates having to watch, you know, where he can't do anything about it during the middle of a game. Speaking of competition, you guys ready for this?
Game on.
It's time for Are You a Bears Authority? It's brought to you by Sports Authority, and here's how we play. I ask a question. If you know the answer, yeah, you hit that buzzer, James.
Just make sure it's work.
Yeah, and if you hit the buzzer, if it goes off first, you get an opportunity to answer the question first. If you get it wrong, the other player gets an opportunity to answer the question. It's a best of seven. So whoever has the most right wins, and you win a Sports Authority gift certificate for a lucky Bears fan. Patrick, you're going to be playing for James Davis of Crown Point, Indiana. And James, you're playing for Sammy Akers from Chicago. And if you're listening right now, you want to sign up for a future game, all you have to do is go to chicagobears.com/CBN and click on the Bears All Access page, where you can also listen to all of our shows. Here is the one thing that I will say. Every single time we play this game, there is one question that involves Josh McCown. It may be Josh McCown in the question, maybe Josh McCown in the answer, but one of the seven questions will involve your starting quarterback for Monday, Josh McCown.
So what is this? What is this? What are these questions about besides Josh McCown?
These are questions about the Bears, okay. Some history, some about your teammates. You know, anything associated with the Bears.
You can't make me go against the guy that played for the Bears every year the Bears were in existence.
Yes, since they were the Decatur Stallions.
That's the problem is I have too many teammates and like juggles me. My mind's all messed up.
Okay. Whatever.
Been hitting the head too much.
Are you ready?
Too many years.
You snap. Who hits you?
They used to.
Okay.
I get a little offensive. I played back in the era when I got run over by Gilbert Brown.
I mean, so how in your career, how many tackles do you think you've hit?
I don't know. It's in the book somewhere. My highest in 1 year was 11.
Really?
So I can say that. A couple times I did that.
He had
That's
one
a lot
Sunday.
For a long snapper.
He had a huge Sunday. I mean, tackled maybe the best return man in the league other than Devin Hester.
A lot of other guys cannot do.
Now, well, let's get to the game.
By the way, and here's a funny story from the game the other day. You know, speaking of the fact that you can't hit the long snapper anymore, there was a guy that was lined up over Manley on Sunday against the Vikings, and the official moved him out of the way. And how did he do it?
Well, on the field goal, they can't line up. They got to be outside your shoulder width or whatever, and he's kind of pushing the envelope there. The referee reaches in, and he's like, scoot over. You can't be on the center. That Manley's like 100 years old.
Which means he started playing for the Bears when he was six.
All right. Normally it's guys talking trash to you, but the referee had a nice one. I started laughing. It was pretty good.
All right. Let's get to the game. Question number one here on Are You a Bears Authority? It's a multiple choice question, meaning it would benefit you to listen to all the choices. Bears legend Mike Ditka garnered NFL Rookie of the Year honors in his first season as a Bear. What was that season? James.
Go ahead. that season was 1961.
Correct. How did he know that? Nice move. And
is there like a cheat sheet?
I am sitting on the complete other side of the table from James Ant. That is remarkable. Someone is ready for Monday night.
All right.
How about
that? You studied
that?
Up on your Ditka trivia before this, didn't you?
No.
Nice job. All right, so James, a 1-0 lead over Patrick, meaning Sammy Akers of Chicago is in the driver's seat right now. It's best of seven, though. Question number two. Ditka's jersey number 89 will be retired for good on Monday. Name the last Bears player to wear that number in a regular season game. Pat.
Isn't Dustin Lyman? There was somebody after that.
Incorrect. Hint to James would be same position as Dustin Lyman.
Oh, I know it. Can we come back to me if he misses?
I don't even know who Dustin Lyman is.
Like I said, I've played with so many players that they all get jumbled.
He's a tight end. There's no way James is going to get
he's
this.
He's a tight end, right?
I'll get this
one. Yeah, he is a tight end.
Dustin Keller? I don't know.
No, can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Matt Spaeth.
It is Matt Spaeth. You don't get the points for it. But Matt Spaeth is in Pittsburgh now.
I played against that guy.
Yeah. Yes. He'd be upset with me.
Yes. All right, it's a 1-0 lead for James over Patrick Manley here. Question number three, this is about a current teammate. What college did Bears tight end Martellus Bennett play at?
Texas A&M.
Patrick is correct. Game tied at one. Things are getting interesting here on Are You a Bears Authority. 1-1 tie between Patrick and James. Question number four, it's a multiple choice question, so I will warn you, you might want to listen to all the choices before hitting the buzzer. Bears quarterback Josh McCown set a Bears team record for most completions in a single game against the Rams. Patrick.
36.
Correct. How about you guys don't even need multiple choice. That's unbelievable. 2-1.
I play
lead.
Defense.
I read those papers.
I don't read stacks. I play defense.
Yeah,
I worry about tackles and picks.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, right? Because if you do those things, good things happen for the Bears defense. All right, question number five, Patrick Manley, a 2-1 lead over James Anderson. Question five, Mike Ditka's number 89 will be the 14th jersey retired. Can you give us, by the Bears, can you give us three names of other Bears players with retired numbers? James.
Walter Payton.
Correct.
Gale Sayers.
Correct.
The linebacker. Dick Buckus.
Yes, correct.
This whole building is what has the answer behind us.
The
that was
linebacker.
Dumb of me. I should have looked around.
By the way, we are in a studio.
Wait a minute. It's 3-0 guys up there.
We're in a studio. We're right behind James. There are these lockers that you see on TV.
Retired numbers.
Buckus, 51. Payton, 34. Sayers, 40. George Halas, 7. There's Sid Luckman, number 42. There's Mike Ditka's 89.
There's contest clues.
Yeah.
Then there's jerseys with no numbers on them. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, that was. What was that like, Pat, when you played with guys who didn't. How did you know who to target?
The color of our jersey.
That's what we want. I just wonder how it feels to play in leather helmets.
Yeah, what you missed there.
No helmets.
What was that like with the single bar?
Huh?
All right, it's 2-2 between James Anderson and Patrick Manley. Question number six, we go defense. How many Pro Bowls has Bears linebacker Lance Briggs been.
7.
James, correct. So someone in that room's bragging.
I've heard it quite a few times.
Man, Lance Briggs, by the way, not going to be able to play on Monday, according to Mark Trestman. How much do you guys miss him?
He's not happy about that.
I know he's not happy. Well, what player is happy when they don't get an opportunity to play?
He's not a happy Bear nowadays.
But you're the guy who now has to call the signals. I mean, that's a lot of responsibility considering that guy's been in the defense for, 10 years?
Yeah, you know what? I did it in Carolina, and it's just a matter of communicating, and Bosick helps echo calls. The guys do a good job of relaying calls, but just that to have a player of that caliber not on the field, it makes a huge difference just from just experience and him kind of going through, and he's played as long as Pat Manley, I think. and just, you know, you have a guy with that kind of experience. He knows things. He tells you things. He plays fast, and you can play off a guy like that just because of how he knows.
You don't have to think. You just do whatever he tells you.
Follow him.
All right, question number 7. This is for all the marbles here. James Anderson, a 3-2 lead over Patrick Manley. We also stick with defense here. What year did the Cowboys draft current Bears defensive tackle Jeremiah Ratliff? James.
2005.
Correct. James Anderson beats the longest tenured Bear in the history of the Bears organization. Patrick Manley, 4-2. Sammy Akers of Chicago wins the gift certificate to Sports Authority. Thank you guys for playing. We got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll talk some Bears-Cowboys next. Right here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live in the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Event Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience for the University of Phoenix on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. The Bears thank Giordano's Famous Stuffed Pizza for providing dinner. Stop by one of their 40 Chicagoland locations for the city's favorite stuffed pizza and visit Giordano's.com. Zach Zabin, Patrick Manley, James Anderson with you here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live in the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience from the University of Phoenix. They are loud. They are enjoying the show. And they're all smiling. So at least if they're not enjoying the show, they're pretending very nicely. We appreciate
that. Well, at least they're smiling. Maybe the listeners aren't smiling.
Yeah, well, you know.
That's all right. These people, we'll make them happy.
You know how you can make them happy? Monday night.
Yeah, that'll be. Please, yeah, we'll do it.
Since most of us have never had to come back after a tough loss, like the one against the Vikings, is it difficult to get back up and get yourself mentally right after a game like that that meant so much in so many different ways?
I'm thankful for two things. One, we don't play till Monday night. And the second is we had an opportunity to go to Washington, Illinois. That whole experience made my little woes, they all kind of went away when you get a perspective of somebody's life has been altered permanently. You know, it puts in perspective, you know, how big a game really is.
Yeah, it kind of reset me. Having that one is having, like you said, having that extra day, Monday, Tuesday off, and then Wednesday off. And then Wednesday just kind of reset you. That 3-hour bus ride back to me was a big time to reflect on just life in general and then your season and where you are as a person, your family, and all that stuff. And it was a good reset button.
What's Robbie like?
Talks a lot. What are you talking about?
No, what I mean is he's never experienced this.
No, he's good. Yeah, you're talking. He's great. I'll tell you, I was telling you a story off air that he went to the hospital after the game to go see his baby, and a fan there noticed him, recognized him, and just started talking to him, and Robbie thought, oh, no, he's going to mention the missed kick and all that stuff, and he's like, no, Robbie, you're coming back to what real life is you go see your child, you know, sorry you missed the kick, but go see your child and have a great night and look forward to watching the rest of your career. And he said that, like it's a reset button. He said once that happened, the game was washed. He came back this morning as fiery as ever and talking as ever and joking as ever and got back to work and, you know, didn't miss a kick in practice today and is the same old Robbie again.
That guy talks a lot.
He is the mayor.
He is the mayor of the world. I don't think I've ever been anywhere with Robbie where people don't know who he is or he doesn't know the owner of something and he's not shaking somebody's hand, kissing somebody's baby. He's like the world's best politician.
Years from now, I really believe he'll be either the governor of Illinois or the mayor of Chicago.
I just hope he's not corrupt.
Your words, not mine. Patrick Manley, James Anderson along here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Now, from a defensive standpoint, when you're in the room and you're watching video of this Cowboys offense, I mean, that's a tough offense to slow down, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what? Those guys have a lot of weapons. And Romo's done a great job of this year of spreading the ball around, making plays when he needs to. He's been, you know, he's been very accurate. So it's going to be a big challenge. What's this week, like 12, 13, 11?
Degrees?
Week.
Oh, week. I thought you were asking what the temperature was going to be on Monday night.
I only know two things, like what today is and who we play.
We have
next.
Four games left.
Okay, so week 12. 13. Anyway, when you study an offense and you know, you try to key in on who their best players are, like who do you need to stop? And, you know, this week you go in a room, you say, you know what, well, they have a really good receiver. They have one of the best tight ends to ever play the game. You know, they got Romo who's playing well. They have a really good running game. So it's like, okay, we got to go play defense. Got to try to stop them all.
How much does Jeremiah Ratliff being on your team help?
You know, it's just like, you know, we were talking off air how intimidating he is before the game. He actually, he kind of scared me a little bit on the sideline. I was like, I play with him.
Yeah, I mean, he looks nervous. Like Kimbo Slice.
Oh,
right.
That beard. He's got a sweet
beard.
He
does. Bald head, beard.
Yeah.
And he runs up and down the sideline screaming at everybody. And I'm like, bro, we're playing together.
Very intimidating.
We're on the same team.
That guy, from the moment he walked out of the locker room in Minnesota, you did not want to be on the other side of him on that line of scrimmage. You got to take a timeout. When we come back, this is also a big game for your boss, special teams coordinator, Joe DeCamillis. We'll find out what he's like, because he, unlike Jeremiah Ratliff, is talking about what a big deal this is to him. That's next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live in the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center in Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience for the University of Phoenix on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, featuring Jeff Joniak. The Bears coaching staff airs Monday nights at 6:30 p.m. on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. Zach Zaidman and the two best long snappers on the active roster, Patrick Manley and James Anderson, with me here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, live from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our studio audience from the University of Phoenix. Thank you so much for stopping by. Isn't this a beautiful facility here?
Yes.
Yeah, see, they're loving it. So are you guys. It's an opportunity to spend some time at home here, getting ready for your first home game in a couple of weeks here against the Cowboys. Monday Night Football, Ditka Night. And on special teams, Joe DeCamillis left Dallas to join Mark Trestman's staff here with the Bears. And earlier today, he was talking with the media, and they were asking him about it. And he said, unlike Jeremiah Ratliff, yeah, this is a big deal. I'm not going to lie to you. It's an emotional thing for me, because you spend so many years. He almost lost his life there.
Yeah, he did. That's I don't know if people know the story, but they have an indoor facility that collapsed on him, and he broke his neck, and he was almost a paralyzed. I mean, it's an amazing story what he went through. There was another
paraplegic.
Is that the word I was looking for? Yeah, thank you.
He went to Virginia Tech. You only went to Duke.
He went to Duke.
Whoa, real quick. We want to talk about that this year, football? Who's playing in the ACC championship?
Oh my! For it was it been 369 years?
Who's
something?
Playing in the Who's playing in the ACC championship this weekend?
Congratulations! We had.
What's today's date? When's the game?
We handed you one. We
okay,
won like
and we
five
won
of
that
them.
Game too.
Yeah.
But okay. Let's go back to Jody.
Okay.
Or we can keep talking about that. I don't mind. I really enjoy talking about it. You just look like you're upset.
I'm not upset. I'm having a great time. I didn't play. I never lost a Duke ever. Did you ever beat Virginia Tech?
We never played you guys. You guys weren't in our conference.
Oh, okay. Back then, when y'all were in the, you know.
The real
what
ACC.
What conference was that?
The original ACC.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was called the ACC back then?
Yeah. It was. All right. So where was I? Wow. Talking about Jody.
Jody.
All right. So,
do you guys need a moment? Or?
I mean,
let me scoot my chair over here.
He's just a little sensitive because I'm trying to be a champion right
now.
He's a little sensitive.
I know.
It's okay.
I can't believe I'm still here.
All right.
That.
We've got a minute here. Okay, so sorry. Break it down for us.
All right, well, you know, everybody, people know the story about him. He overcame that. But he's a very, very fiery guy, wears his emotions on his sleeve. And I think, he's been coached at several different teams, and I think any time he's played a former team, he's got a little extra something for him. And I'm looking forward to having his back and going to play the Cowboys this weekend.
A little extra something, and it's a primetime game.
Yeah.
And it's against, oh, man.
Yeah, this will be a good one.
You're basically saying you want to listen to this game on the radio or watch on TV at the same time.
Yes.
I'm pumped up about it. You just got me a little bit of an extra thing that I'm going to have to start digging for this week to find out what's going on. Good stuff. Hey, James, thank you so much for joining us. And I know it wasn't fun talking about the Vikings game, but honest, candid, I like that. Good stuff. For Greg Miller, Paul Zerang, who helped us blast through the speakers of your radio, Kristen Rogers, who made this all possible tonight, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thank you for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, from the Chicago Bears Network Studios and Events Center at Hallis Hall, in front of our friends from the from the University of Phoenix. Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United.